Welcome to another episode of The Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined with my good friend, Avery Zaretsky. Cody was too sad to hop on today, so he will not be with us. But
there's a little bitch.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, Avery and I were kind of talking about it before, and we've been here before, right? I mean, do you want to talk? Because...
You know, well, to be fair, I didn't want to do this podcast either, but I'm here. Yeah. So fuck you, Cody. But yeah, no, he probably had something important to do. I don't know. Anyway,
I don't think any of us wanted to do this, but we know we have to.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, he's a more important guy. I just found out recently that he's 30 years old, which makes no sense to me, but here we are. So yeah, obviously nobody wanted to do this podcast. Nobody wants to talk about it. Our feelings were a lot better a week ago, but it is what it is. And like I said, I was talking to you before. We've been here before. It obviously never feels the same when you're in the moment. But throughout our lives, you know, I've been alive 25 years. There's been multiple times where the Rangers have gone down in series 3-1, 3-2. It's an every game type basis. They obviously haven't looked like they've come ready to play in the past three games, but who knows? You just got to hope they come out and do their job. We know they're capable of doing it. They did it the first two games. We said it before the last game. We know they can do it. But at this point, we just got to hope and pray. But I'm sick of seeing all the negative stuff, man, because we've lived through it. And we know what these guys are capable of every night. The playoffs are different. You're playing the same team every time. You just got to make little adjustments. They haven't done it yet. But who says they can't for the next two games? You look when the Rangers in 94 played the Devils, Messier made that guarantee going into game six. He scores a hat trick, they win, and then they go on to win game seven and go to the finals. Obviously, a little bit different scenario. I don't think we necessarily have like a leader like Messier, but at the end of the day, all it takes is one good bounce, go your way, you win game six, and then game seven's a toss-up. So,
I mean, I completely agree, but I do disagree with one thing that you said, though. Like, I think we actually were texting about it outside of the first 3-4 minutes of game five. The Rangers were the better team in the first period, I thought.
Yeah, we were texting about that. I thought that the Rangers, I mean, that first goal was such a fluke, but
yeah,
the first period, maybe period and a half, the Rangers were the way better team. They had plenty of scoring opportunities. They just couldn't find the back of the net. I thought, and people want to get on his case because he hasn't had the goals, hasn't had the points. I thought Artemi Panarin was easily the Rangers' best player in the first period. And maybe throughout the entire game, he was all over the ice. Maybe, obviously, he didn't put the puck in the net.
Well, not the entire game. Yeah, the third period, no one was good.
Well, yeah. But, you know, yeah. I think like the entirety of the game in terms of any Ranger, I think you'd probably put him at the top. And I know his game score won't reflect that. But, like, those are just numbers that, like, the eye test you – And I like analytics, but the eye test, like if you watch that game and you know hockey, Artemi Panarin was all over the ice. He was working in the corners. He was trying to make plays. He opened up the ice. And listen, you can't win a game if you don't score. Yeah. It's hard to blame one person when you don't score at all. So,
and here's the thing with that too. If you remember, I think probably like 7 minutes or 9 minutes into that game, Panarin gets a great chance on a 3-on-1. Kira Schmid makes a great glove save. And I think that not scoring on that play, his confidence must be shot. And I think that's the biggest thing right now is that, you know, I think Panarin and Mika obviously know that they're being talked about, right? Like people, the media and stuff creeps into the room a little bit at certain times. And you could just sense that those two specifically were trying to do a little bit too much last night, I thought. You know, Mika comes out in the first period. He played super aggressive. And literally a minute after I tweeted how aggressive he was playing, he took that penalty for interference. Like, he's trying to do anything he can to impact the game because he's not scoring goals. And that's what hockey players do when they're not scoring. They try to, you know, come up with anything to help their team, but sometimes it's just not their game and they can't adjust. And I think that's what we're seeing right now out of those two. You know, a little bit more Mika than it is Panarin. And to Ryan Callahan's credit, I saw the clip of Callahan basically saying, like, why the fuck is Mika not playing in the left circle?
Bar, that's a huge goal, and I just cannot figure out why they're being so stubborn with Zibanejad on that left circle.
I don't get it.
It looked good in the first period. He got a couple shots off, and then Panarin's right back there. It had nothing to do with the goal, but keep him there.
Yeah.
He's got such a good one-timer. I don't, I, I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't care who wins the game, but when they're on the power play and he's on that dot, I get nervous because I just sense something's going to happen.
I don't know. I don't know. Mm.
Load it up, boys.
And how about your boy Schmid? Rangers are up Schmid's three.
They are well up.
You know, he's been there all year long. That's where he's comfortable. He had some good chances in the first period. He got two good one-timers off. Schmid made good saves. Why the fuck is Mika, and of course Callahan didn't say why the fuck, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he basically was saying that. Like, why is Mika not in that spot? And in the second period, when the Rangers allowed the shorthanded goal, Mika was back in the bumper position. I don't know.
I could not believe they switched back. I don't know if that was on purpose,
but it looked like it was.
I could not believe what I saw when they switched back, because I thought the first power play was great. They obviously didn't score, but like they were knocking on the door. Mika had three really good one-timer opportunities. It's like, if Schmid is just playing well, you can't switch that up. I thought the power play was working great and maybe could have had a goal or two that could have changed the outcome of the game. But like you said, Panarin, you know, they know what's going on. They're not dumb. You know, even though he has a Nokia, like he doesn't even have
he has a Nokia.
What I'm saying is, like, he doesn't have to go to the media to feel the way that we feel. Like, he's been on the team for how long now? And Mika's the same way. It's like they've been on deep playoff runs. They want this so bad. They want this probably more than we do, in terms of, like, you play so long for one team and you get in all these chances. They came so close to making the cup, you know, a couple times. So it's just like they feel it too, man. Like, I know it's hard to watch the game and feel like they're not putting a lot of effort in, but they are. Like, they are. And they know they can be better, and there's ways to adjust to that. It's just about coming out and just trying hard. And honestly, like you said, I think the confidence thing is huge for them, and they don't have it right now. And that just makes anybody play worse at any level. Like, you let up a goal and your confidence is shot. And as much as you want to come out and make the next big play, it's like, when the other team has way more confidence, you know, they had just won two games on your home ice, and then they're coming out and they get a huge goal 30 seconds in. It's hard to counteract it, no matter how good you are as a player.
Yeah. And I was talking to Vince Bercagliano after the game a little bit too. And, you know, he said, from talking to Panarin a little bit himself, that he can sense, like, there was a little bit of pressure that, you know, he felt from last year's playoffs, you know, coming into this year, he felt that he had to make a big step in this year's playoffs. So that pressure could definitely be getting to him. And, you know, I don't want to speak on Vince's behalf, but in that locker room last night, I obviously went into the Rangers locker room to try to get a quote and whatever. It was obviously a crazy scrum. I couldn't even get a question off, you know, hence why I went to the Devils to ask them questions. But, you know, I know you guys like to give me shit for that. But, man, I on my way out of the locker room, not to be all dramatic and everything, but I was looking back and Chris Kreider was just like in his stall, just like staring at the ceiling, and had this look on his face like, how the fuck did this happen? Like, how did we get here? And obviously Kreider had that great quote after the game too, of, you know, which he always seems to have after these losses. But, you know, you could sense that Kreider knows, like, he's been here before. And, you know, I would expect a big play for number 20 in game six. And just that look on his, like, obviously, you know, I'm new to having the access, so I've never really seen players' reactions firsthand. And literally just looking at him sit in the stall like that, I was like, damn, this guy's fucking pissed off.
They're real people. Yeah. They think like we do, you know.
But that was great to see, honestly. You know,
yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, you look at a guy like Chris Kreider, he's made it to the Stanley Cup finals with this team. He's the last of the reign of that team. And he's been through so many ups and downs. He's been there. He was there when Henrique scored. It's just like, you got to feel for a guy like that. Some things just don't bounce your way, and it's tough to lose that many games in a row. It happened against Tampa. You know, we won two and then lost four straight. It's tough, man. It's really tough. And I honestly do feel for the guys. It's tough being under a microscope like New York. Mm-hmm. But he's I know that's a guy who's going to give it his all in game six. He's not going to go down without a fight, for sure.
And man, there's people like texting me like, you know anyone looking for tickets Saturday? Like, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, you know, I did tweet and I got a lot of shit for it. Like, Rangers aren't playing that bad. Devils are just playing that good, which at the time that I tweeted it, like, that was my opinion. It was like before the shorthanded goal. After the shorthanded goal, it was just, people say no quit New York. There was fucking complete quit in New York after that shorthanded goal. Like the team was just dead. But, you know, I still think, like, you know, to your point, Avery, you're coming home down 3-2 in the series, Saturday night, Madison Square Garden, chance to force game seven. Like, since when do Ranger fans, like, just give up this easily and, like, want to sell tickets and not go to that game? Like, you know, I think any other year, maybe it's because they blew a 2-0 lead, but this stuff happens. Like, I'm pretty sure it's the same storyline right now that it was in 94 against the Devils. The Rangers won the first two, lost three straight, went on the road in game six and won, and came home and won game seven. But is it not the same thing? Like, obviously, you know, you can't say history is going to repeat itself, but these things happen, and it's, you know, easily. I think the Blues were the same way also, right? The Blues, like,
it's just 2019. It's so different in the playoffs. It's so different. It's game by game. You can't think of the series as this, as the play. It's just win the next game.
Yeah.
And they haven't done that the past three games, but all they need to do is win the next game, and it just becomes a clean slate. Mm-hmm. Then you're 3-3. Then you have all the momentum going into game seven. You just beat the Devils. You're going in their building. It's a tough place to play, but you've won there twice before. You can do it again. You just have to find a way to win on Saturday, or your season's over, and you got to reassess in the offseason. But like we said before, I don't want to think about that. I firmly believe, I've seen it enough times, I firmly believe they can win Saturday, mm-hmm. and find a way to win in New Jersey.
Yeah, and also I think we should say too, like, listen, there's a million Ranger podcasts out there. We're not the guys that are going to come on here and rip this team to shreds. Like, that's just not who we are.
I don't see the logic in ripping players apart, because in some way, in some fashion, they always either make you look bad, or I just feel like there's no reason to just dig into players, yeah, who you just don't know what their situations are. You know how much they're getting paid, but like they're
genuinely love them.
Like, yes.
You know, like, why would you want to do that?
Go ahead, rip into Panarin. But then if he scores a hat trick in game six, it's like, yeah, you can't talk good about him. You just rip through him the entire, and it's like, oh, like, you know, this is what we expect out of him. But it's like, he's a human. He has feelings. He's not a robot. Like, there's trials and tribulations in a playoff series that can weigh on you, whether it's not getting a point or you know, there's other factors in people's lives that you just may not know about. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to, you know, even when the Rangers picked Trouba as the captain, it's like everybody's got an opinion. But you don't know what happens in that locker room. You obviously see what he does on the ice, and he performs like a captain. He hits. He's trying to make plays. But like in the locker room, he could be the most vocal guy. You just don't know what happens off the ice for the Rangers. You can only go into so much. The reporters tell you a lot because they get to see a lot. But there's so many things that you just don't see at the training facility. They're with each other every day. They're traveling together. They're with each other, you know, 20 hours out of the 24 hours out of their day. So it's just like, you gotta just sit back and try to enjoy what you have left, whether it's Saturday, whether it's Monday. Just enjoy the ride and just hope they win. Like, you don't just sit back and make yourself miserable. That's what I hate. I hate going onto Twitter and seeing misery. Like, there's people on Twitter who believe like we do and have faith and have seen what this team can do in the past, and they've won games. So it's just like, just enjoy yourself, man. Like, it's an exciting time to be a fan. Obviously, you don't want to be down 3-2. You don't want to blow a 2-0 lead, but we're here, man. You just got to win one game, and then you're back.
No, man, that was beautiful. Honestly, it was. And I want to just piggyback off that one more thing before we go into fan questions.
Go ahead.
I know we're gonna have a lot of negative fan questions, but, you know, a lot of people wanted Gerard Gallant once again to last night shred the team. And he did that after game four. You know, he called the guys out. He called out the top six. He ripped into this team, and he doesn't do that often. But it's evident right now, you know, speaking of the confidence, they've scored two goals in three games. Him ripping into the team again, two games in a row, what is that going to do? It's his job to motivate the players and keep the players feeling confident, obviously in a time like this when they're not. So him going to the media and saying, oh, we fucking suck, nobody can score, nobody showed up tonight, only Gaudreau and Igor played well, and Trouba and Lindgren are the only one. Like, he's not going to do that. He's a player's coach. He's always been a player's coach. sure, he hasn't made the adjustments just yet in the series. You're smiling. I don't know what you're going to follow up with.
Okay, go ahead.
What? No, do you want to just cut
guys,
in?
These guys are grown adults. What is coach yelling at them going to do? What is coach making them skate extra laps in practice going to do? You've played high-level hockey, Johnny. Like, what has made players stay after practice and do suicides? What has that done? That's done absolutely nothing. You just let them play their game. They're adults. They know they have the capability. Just let them play their game. They've struggled. They've gone through the trials and tribulations, but just let them play. Screaming at them and yelling at them or blaming them isn't going to do anything but make them just more mad at the coach, which you don't want.
Yeah. Then at that point,
you want a good relationship.
You want the coach to be fired. I'm sure if Cody were here right now, he'd probably be the one to rip into everybody. That's kind of how the three of us work, right? Like, Cody's that just fan, but I feel like Cody would be fuck a lab, all that shit. But Cody's also a positive guy, so I don't want to, speak for him too. But let's go into fan questions. I'm assuming a lot of these are negative. And obviously the first one I'm looking at says for Cody, but Avery, you can answer this one. Why is Johnny a fraud of a New York Ranger fan?
It's funny. It's funny to pick on you because you have, you do all the different jobs and you work with fans of other teams. And but, dude, you're just grinding. Like, as much as we like to poke fun at you for all the devil shit, it's your job. Like, you're not you're just trying to make a living, bro. I can't get mad at that. It obviously sucks. Like, you do a Ranger you do a Ranger podcast and you're in the press or chuckling up with the Devils players, but it is what it is, man. Like, you're trying
to also
get your
welcome
bag.
All the hate. I don't mind.
Yeah,
I don't mind.
It's fine. I told you off air probably one time, but one of my favorite people ever in this entire world is Big T from Barstool. He told me that he's never met a hater doing better than him. So, Johnny, you're grinding. I see your followers go up all the time, and I respect it. It's easy it's so easy to get mad online, seeing stuff like that, but you got to respect it. And if you take that seriously, you're just a moron. If you take Johnny's fandom and mix it with his job, you're an idiot. He's obviously a Ranger fan. He's literally taking time out of his day on a Friday to talk Rangers. It's come on.
Well, thank you, because I know if Cody answered that question, he would have went the complete opposite direction.
Well, he feels the same way I do. He's just a troll. He's also 30 years old.
All right. Next one. This is actually from my boy from high school, Sam Coogs. And this is a great question because I believe it's very true. Do the Rangers need to score first in order to win game 6? I think if they don't score the first goal, they are cooked.
100%. I've said it the whole series, and it's kind of played out to be true. For the Rangers to win games, you either score the first goal or you score the next goal. So it's let's just say Rangers go up 1-0, right? They have to score the second goal after that. The next goal is the most important. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes the same for if the Devils score first, the Rangers have to score next, but they also have to score the next goal. So whenever the Rangers score, whether it's the first goal or the second goal, the next goal has to be theirs as well, or they will not win the game. Mm-hmm. If the Rangers, score and make it 1-0, but then the Devils score and make it 1-1, I think they lose the game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Lindy Ruff actually said that last night in the post game when I asked him about the first goal and just, opening the game strong. And he said, we knew if we scored the first one, they were going to have to score 2, and they hadn't.
Exactly.
Say what you want about Akira Schmid, but that guy's been he hasn't left more than 2 goals in 3 games. It's crazy.
Been a brick wall since Johnny's been laughing it up with him.
Yeah. All right, let's transition. this is from Mark Schiraldi. These fans are so fake turning on them. Rangers in 7, not a question, but a statement. Fuck yeah, Mark. We love that.
Damn right. That's the mentality. And if you don't have that mentality, you just gotta fucking take a melatonin and go to bed.
Yeah. All right. This one, Bobby Christ 1. I asked to rank the top 6. Please disregard. I don't even know what the top 6 is now. Okay, never mind. He probably just followed up on a question. We could say the lines, though. The lines look different in practice today.
Very different.
If you want to read, do you want me to read those out or do you want to read those out?
I think all right, I'll say them. And if I'm wrong, you tell me. But I think I've already memorized them. It's Kreider, Mika, Tarasenko, top line. Then it's Lafreniere, Trocheck, Kane, second line. Third line is Panarin, Hedl, Kako, and the fourth line stays the same with Tyler Mott, Goudreau, and VC.
Bang on. Good stuff. All right, let's go into the next one. Michael Oren. A lot of these are statements, but I'm just going to read out the statements too because they're funny. Michael Oren, you doing okay? I'm not. Crying emoji.
It's okay to not be okay, yeah, but you just got to keep. You just got to keep the faith. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be. I don't think anybody. Yeah.
I said it today. Someone was DMing me, and I said you don't have to be confident, but be hopeful. I think that's
right.
You know, I think that's the motto right now. Then Jason Bisnoff, my cousin. Why do we do this to ourselves? And this is, you know, this is just being a Ranger fan. They never make it easy. You know, it's just how it is. Like, you know, we talked about it last episode. I think they've won one series in five in the last 20 years. Like, it just,
yep.
They swept the Thrashers too back in 07. But, you know, that's just how it is.
I don't even remember that. So it's just like,
you don't?
Well, dude, I was like 07. I was 9. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to ignore. Well, this is our boy on my Rocky 93, but he said, who replaces GG in the offseason? We're not going into that. Next one, Rob Blake's sad. Anthony, I'm just going to read all these. Anthony MYR, what do we do? Adam Monty 27, do you know when the season starts next year? Okay. Sick, nasty Grizzy. What an Instagram name. So who's the biggest disappointment in this series and why is it MIKA? I mean, it has to be, right?
Yeah, I hate to point out individual players because like you go into game five and nobody scores. It's like, yeah, obviously you look at the big guns, but it's just like, you know, nobody showed up. So
yeah, I mean, it's obvious that it's Mika though. It is.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one's from CPGEN Co. What roster changes? We just read them out loud, so don't need to get into that. M.Crank10, gut check time. Boys look dead in the water, but does a convincing Game 6 win just mean Rangers in 7?
Fuck yeah. Absolutely, 100%.
Mm-hmm. It's always been Rangers in 7.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Even though we say Rangers in 6 nonstop.
I said Rangers in 5 nonstop.
Sammy Hockey 36. We need to score. Where are Mika and Panarin? I still have hope, but it is dwindling fast. All right, well, at least you still have hope. And listen. You know, we said it last episode, last year, game 6, Mika 2 goals, game 7, Panarin overtime winner. Like, you know, they could show up in the big moments. Not counting them out yet.
Listen, if the lows suck, but the highs of the high, like when Kreider scored in game 6 against Pittsburgh, like you can't
that winning goal.
Yeah, you don't get those feelings back, man. Like, and then Panarin and OT in game 7, it's like, if we can get like one of those moments again, like you just got to have faith for that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. This is John C. Leo. Are the Rangers frauds? So I want to answer this first because I don't think they're frauds. I think the Devils are just that good. And actually, I wrote about it in my article last night. Dan Rosen said it perfectly. Right now, I think the biggest question isn't the Rangers. It's where the fuck was this Devils team in game 1 and game 2? Like, this was the Devils team that we saw all year. So what was going on for them in the first two games? Obviously, it's playoff jitters, maybe that inexperience that people talked about. But I think that's something, too, because this is the Devils team that I was expecting to see the entire series. Obviously, not the Rangers team I was expecting to see, but the Devils have just brought their game to the Rangers in game 4 and game 5.
Yeah, I actually couldn't agree more. I think, the real question is like, did the Rangers play bad or the Devils just... Like,
that's what I'm saying. And I got ratio.
Good. No, yeah. I thought your tweet made a lot of sense. I don't think you see that much of a change in the series unless the team that got dominated in the first two games like is for real. And
yeah,
we knew the Devils were for real. They had the most comeback wins in the NHL. They finished second in our division. They easily could have finished first. Like
they were us last year.
Yeah. That, yeah, 100%. They are to a T what we were last year. And we always said going in that if they got the goaltending, they'd be a very scary team. And they got the goaltending. So,
yeah. All right. Justin Bamdas, is it worth trying to shake up the D pairs to create offense at this point? Miller and Fox? I don't think so.
No.
You can't rely on your D to score goals. I don't think it's necessary. Chio Fallow, why the fuck do we suck? Sirico 19, Payne, Ellis Corner Podcast, Eli's Corner podcast, I guess. How do we get that team back to after a shutout like that? How do we get the team back to that? Doesn't how do we get the team back to after a shutout like that?
I think they just meant like where, like how does a team like recover from something like that? But
yeah.
I mean, you can look at it both ways. They either just don't recover, or you look at it as like a positive. It's like we did every single thing wrong in that game. Like it pretty much can't get worse than what happened in game five. It can only go up from here. So you just gotta listen. They know their backs are against the wall. They have to now. They're in a position where
put up or shut up.
Yeah, when they weren't up 2-0 and they kind of sat back. Now they're in a position where it's like they cannot physically sit back,
mm-hmm.
or they will be done. They will be golfing. Yep.
This is now must win.
Yes, this is we're in must win territory here.
Yeah, we joked about it last week, but yeah.
Now it's not so funny anymore.
Yeah, now it's not funny. Yeah. Jack Red. Literally, it's crazy how it's a complete 180 from last Friday.
So fucked up.
Yeah, it's so fucked up. All right. Jack Rappo, when are the We Quit in New York t-shirts come out? That's pretty funny.
Yeah. I actually need one of those. I quit my job in New York.
That was good.
Yep.
Kyle Law, 24. This one we probably can't answer. Do you think New York Rangers' performance in Game 6 is directly related to GG's job security? 1,000%. I think if they lose, there's no way he keeps his job.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know too much on the inside there how they feel about him, but how long has he been the coach? 3 years?
This is two. This is year two.
Only two?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, he's had some short stints, man.
Yeah. Everywhere he's been.
Yeah, and I can't speak too much to it because I don't know what the answers are or why he gets fired, but I feel like it's got to be just like that he like doesn't make that many adjustments kind of yeah. thing. But I don't know. That's just playing off the vibe. I don't know what the real reason is. I hope they can turn things around and he doesn't get fired. You never want I don't understand people. It's like, oh, like we need him fired like right now. It's like. You shouldn't want your coach to be fired. Like this isn't.
Well, it all depends for sure. You know.
Yeah.
We've got like 20 more, but we want to keep this short on time, so I'm probably just gonna ask like three or four good ones. Like, there's obviously a lot of negative comments in here, but you know these are somewhat good questions here. Let's go with Adam Alpert. Vlad and Kane messed with the chemistry. They had enough time to gel with the team. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
I'm expecting a little bit more from Tarasenko. I think Kane's kind of been, you know, obviously underperforming, but I don't know if we expected him to be the number one guy. So yeah, I would expect more from Tarasenko. I'm not thrilled with him the last three games, but I think he's got it in him to maybe step up here in game six and game seven.
Yeah, he has to. So mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think they all owe us a little bit more.
Yeah. And then Lauren Khaleesi, will we ever be happy as Ranger fans? And I've said this before on this podcast, even when the day does come where we win the cup, the next fucking day, it's we didn't sign this guy. Free agency. It's just going to be something to complain about.
My grandpa waited 54 years for a Stanley Cup. Okay. We can all take it. I know it sucks and I hate it and it drives me crazy. I'm probably going to live. I'm probably not going to live as long because of it, but it'll happen at some point. Hopefully everybody just gets their little shine. Everybody gets to enjoy something. We'll see. It's just a matter of time.
And we'll end on this one. Perry Kunivelis, is there one or two players to blame, or has it been a shitty team effort besides Igor?
Shitty team effort. Ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Valley said it best. I don't know if you saw that clip.
Yeah.
They just look like a team full of a bunch of superstar players. They don't look like a team right now. So, yeah. And you got to be a team to win.
I completely agree with that comment that he made, and I could put that clip in here.
Please do, because it was great.
Well, hoping for a big comeback in the third. Instead, we saw the Devils completely destroy the Rangers in the third.
It was the first game of this series where we saw one of the teams just completely dominate the other at 5-on-5. You could say that the Rangers won games one and two by 5-1 scores, but they didn't dominate those games at 5-on-5. They had the push on the power play, and it made it an easier game. My bigger point is that the team right now looks like a collection of stars rather than a team. And I'm talking about the back check, not being able to come back quick enough to put pressure to shut down the rush game of the Devils that had their own way through the neutral zone. And because they weren't coming back, the Rangers weren't able to get out of their zone. It was as disconnected, disjointed as I've seen the team all year, and get really railroaded by the Devils, like owned.
That's going to wrap it up for fan questions. We're hoping to talk to you guys on Sunday or Monday, you know, probably like a late Sunday night, maybe, you know, after a big win, hopefully. So
Johnny's got a lunch with Akira at 3 o'clock, so he's got to get out of there.
Well, I mean, we also, you know, I sent you that Instagram story yesterday of Akira at Topgolf, and I was like, fuck, this would be great when the Rangers win to post, like, you know.
It's not going well.
Not going well. But as always, thank you guys for listening. We love you guys, and we hope we have a positive conversation on the next episode.
LFGR.